Good to see y'all this morning, and to know brothers and sisters of like precious faith. You know, it's something, not something you manufactured. God made it. God put us together, along with all of these other children in the world, and we're very happy with his handiwork. Always happy. And we thank him, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're very thankful, Lord, of how you have poured out your blessings upon your people. Not so much this worldly blessing, Lord, although we're grateful for those things. Lord, but beyond that, we're far more grateful for the spiritual life, Lord, that you've given us. What you put in our hearts, Lord, what you have done by your hands, Lord, we're so very happy with that. And Lord, in that, Lord, you have taught us that your yeses and your noes are both good, because they're both your wisdom and your righteousness being brought to pass. And that's what we want above all things, Lord. May you bless us with the word this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was working with Brother Don earlier this morning trying to get Western Union to release the money that we'd sent and support over there. And they're being, I don't know what. I called Western Union this morning and talked to them. And they only required passport or some kind of government-issued ID and the tracking number, which he had. And they're asking him for stuff that they shouldn't ask him for because I didn't put it. And so I called them and said, why? And they said, they don't know. And I said, are you serious? You're telling me Western Union doesn't know what the other part of Western Union is doing? And he was like, he didn't know how to answer that. And I said, well, this is a pretty unreliable service system, if that's the case. He said he had some choices and he went through them and stuff. And so I'm not going to go through all that. If you'll just be remembering that, it'll work out and they can get it. We know it's Satan. So it's just not if Satan will move, it's when Satan will move. So before we start this morning, I just want to sort of show where we're going, or talk about where we're going, so that as we're going, it'll make a little more sense. And the first thing I put under there as a subtitle is the seed must be quickened. And we know there's one seed, and we know that that was the royal seed of Abraham. And Brother Branham, which is Christ. And we know that Brother Branham said the entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that entire Bible is the revelation of that royal seed. From the beginning to the end, that's what he's doing. He's revealing Jesus Christ. He's bringing that seed to life. And so when you start to look at it, you begin to realize that all these things that people are getting confused on, and they're wondering about the theophany, wondering about this body, they're wondering about what's coming and when he's coming and all these other things. The revelation of Jesus Christ and the coming of Jesus Christ is exactly the same thing. As he's coming, he's revealing himself. Brother Branham said, to reveal himself, God interprets himself. God does it. And so That's all this has ever been, is when Brother Branham said, the great God, before the foundation of the world, spoke. That was the seed. The spoken word was the original seed. That's what went forth. And that's what he was going to interpret. See, that's what he was going to quicken. He was going to bring it to pass. He was going to do it. And he was going to do it by the Holy Ghost. There's no place in the message, in the Bible, anywhere, where that seed was going to come forth without Jesus Christ, the life that God gave it. And so, it's all through the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible, it's wrote little different ways in the message. But that's what Brother Branham come to show us. The revelation. That's why the seals were took off, so that we could see how he was doing that all along. I mean, you think about it. Brother Branham said when they first fell, and he slayed that sheep. He took the sheep skin and put it on them. Brother Branham said not only was just he showing that a lamb would be slain, but he was also showing there that it had to be shepherd. It had to be a shepherd's. The shepherd had to do it. Amen. And so there's layer on layer on layer of God showing that one thing. How he was going to bring this seed to life. How he was going to take the words that he had spoke and interpret them into being. And that's what it's been the whole time. And people, you know, the message is there because we need it. Every word that's there, we need it. And because God wouldn't have uttered it if we didn't need it. But it's also there that people will take and try to interpret it themselves. And it will send this one off in this direction, and this one off in that direction. And it creates shuck, and it creates fodder everywhere that it goes. Every direction. And if you'll look in the Bible, everything that ever went wrong in the Bible, everything that's ever went wrong, is when somebody tried to do it themselves. It's got their own idea. Look at Sarah. Sarah had her own idea on how God was going to bring his promise. And God knew that. And Abraham knew it. And God told Abraham, go ahead and listen to her. Because something was got to be shown. Go ahead and listen to her, because now I'm going to show these other things. And all down through the Bible, it's the same way. It doesn't change. It's God's way, and it's Satan trying to sell people another one. It's always been that way. And all through that, in the middle of all that, God is bringing his seed into being. There's one way he was going to do it. That was through the life of Jesus Christ. We'll get it here in just a minute. The seed had to be quickened, and that was the only way it was going to be quickened. And so let's start there, and let's look at these two covenants. And instead of just looking at them like Brother Michael was talking about, just words on the page, think about what God was doing when he made these covenants. Because a covenant is an agreement. So God made two covenants on how he was going to give life. And Brother Branham said, the first one, he gave it to Adam. And he said, Adam, if you'll do such and such. And Brother Branham said, that was based on conditions. And it was based on a man. And it couldn't be eternal, ever. So we wonder why God was doing that. And we went over that. I know we went over it. But sometimes, as many times as you go over stuff, you still miss it. I know I did over the years. And so I don't want us to miss it. I want to go just as slow. And if we have to wrap into a bunch of services, that's fine. But I don't want us to miss it, because I want us to realize that God has accomplished his goal in this day. He has accomplished bringing that seed to life. This new soul, it came from that Lamb's Book of Life. He opened that book so that he might do that. And he's always been working and doing that. He's been revealing that predestination. We went over that last service or two. We talked about what our inheritance was. It was that predestination. Our inheritance was predestination. We were predestinated to eternal life. And there was one way that we were predestinated to that, and that was through Christ. And Brother Branham said that multiple times in the scripture. He talks about how that you have one relationship to God and one only. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only relationship we have to God. And that's the only one we ever needed. And so let's look at these two covenants, because God didn't mess up and have to figure out another way. We know that. All through the ages, they didn't know those things. They couldn't know why he did this with Adam and turned around and did something different with Abraham. But now that the seals have come off, and we realize that the whole book from cover to cover is the revelation of Jesus Christ, we realize that was Christ when he gave that one, that covenant with Adam, because that fall had to come. And then he gave this one with Abraham. He was revealing further that royal seed. See, because that promise that he gave Abraham became the royal seed that gave his life down there at the Calvary. And then once he gave his life, the seed couldn't abide alone. See, that was the whole plan the whole time, was to bring that one royal seed into multiple children of God. God was going to do it that way, in that way only. And so it becomes clear as we go down through the message that God never intended for man to go out and just take eternal life. He was going to give him eternal life. And it was always that way. But what was going to happen is that men were going to fall under that covenant, and there was still going to be this, if I can do it, if I can be this, if I can accomplish this, if, you know, all this self stuff, because that's what Satan sold them, self. And Eve bit it. And then she took it to Adam, and Adam went with her. They went down under that do-it-yourself covenant. And that's where it's at today. That's every denomination starts from that little bit of self injected into God. And that's why Brother Branham, when he come with marriage and divorce, that was a hard message for people, especially living in this day and time when women's went their way and established themselves, and men have come down this way, and it's just blurring all the lines between men and women. And so that was Satan's plan, to try to do that all the time. And in doing that, and in bringing those things to pass like that, we realize what truth was. When Brother Branham come on the scene and he started pointing and saying, this is Satan. This is Satan. This is Satan. Then you, when you know what is Satan, you know what is God. Because it's the opposite. And nobody had ever known these things. Nobody had ever realized these things. Adam put under that covenant. He didn't know nothing about grace yet. What do you know about grace? He hadn't failed. He knew nothing about it. But it was grace that he was predestinated to. And all of us were. And so, sorry, I'm getting a little carried away, but let's read this first quote here. Now, if you'll notice, what caused this great thing in the beginning? What caused this great fall to happen in the beginning? If you go read that other paragraph above it, you'll catch that part. God took man for a partner. Now you think about how Adam and Eve was made. How was Adam and Eve made? Equal. So there's this spiritual thing that's going on. God has made man equal with him. He's going to let him decide what's right and wrong. Not God decide what's right and wrong. That's what's going to come. But he's going to let Adam decide what's right and wrong. That's what's going to bring the fall. That's what he's saying right here. And he's going to say it even more clear. God took man for a partner and made a covenant with a man equal. And told a man, if thou shalt do this and do this. And the man broke his covenant, and he always breaks his covenant. Man just can't keep his promise. That's all. There's only one can keep his promise, and that's God. Man cannot. He breaks his covenant every time with God. And God knew that before the foundation. That's why he done this. Otherwise, why didn't he put Abraham's covenant right there and tell him right at the beginning? We know those. We know the answer to those things. All right, so you can read the rest of that. But let's go on down here to God's chosen place of worship. There was also two covenants. Now, I just wanted to show you that it wasn't just back there he said it. There's also two covenants. Give to the people. We're going to speak of them in the morning. Okay, what was the message the next morning? Marriage and divorce. What was those two covenants that Brother Branham talked about? It was the two covenants. The first one, man and woman was equal. The second one, they weren't. Now, what is he talking about right here? He said, there are also two covenants give to the people. And what did we just read, Brother Branham said? That he made man equal. See the two covenants. Brother Branham's drawing that type there. One of them was given to Adam on condition. And if you do this and don't do that, but that law was broken. Adam, Eve broke that in the Garden of Eden. Then God made a second covenant and gave that to Abraham. And that law was unconditional. Now he's unfolding. He was unfolding Christ the first time. Now he's still unfolding Christ. Now there has to be a Savior because of the first one broken. Now comes the Savior. This is the other one. It's unfolding himself. And gave that to Abraham, and that law was unconditional. It isn't what you've done or what you will do. He said, I have already done it. That's grace. That's the law of life. The law of life is not the one Adam had. The law of life is the one that Abraham was given. God said that for Abraham and his seed after him, that's all of Abraham's seed. And as Bible said, all Israel will be saved, but that don't mean Jews. Paul said that Israel, which is inward, or Israel outward. Outward, as we spoke of the other night, it was Isaac's children by sex. Now, see these parallels he's drawing. He's drawing, you know, that he said all, but he's talking about a certain part of the all. But the law of God was through Christ. The law of God of life was through Christ. It wasn't through this law that he gave man back there. That wasn't it. Which was Abraham's royal seed. That by grace all Israel is saved. That's all that's in Christ is saved. All God's second covenant. But all these things foreshadowed Christ. All these things. Let's go to the Sardesian Church Age book. Since this portion of the word is hard for the human mind to grasp, it must be accepted and believed by faith. And all of it has to be accepted and believed by faith. Some will be offended because they didn't accept it by faith. By what I have set forth, because they fail to understand the sovereignty of God, which sets forth that God is God. And because he is God, one cannot defeat his counsels or thwart his will and his purpose. So nothing's going to stop his will and purpose. But he, being omnipotent, is ruling in all affairs. Nothing has happened that he's not ruling in that. Amen. But he, being omnipotent, is ruling in all affairs, and is doing whatever he will. Both the wicked, both the ones that are going to be God's people, everything, God is in control of all of it. He set it all in motion. He put that covenant back there. He didn't cause it. Man caused it. Because God, Brother Branham said, God could not create something that was evil. Man had to lose himself. And so his rulings, but I want you to don't miss that. He's ruling in all affairs, because it's going to really make a point here in just a few minutes. Is ruling in all affairs and is doing whatever he will with all his creation, because all were created for his good pleasure. Every last one of them. Therefore, as Paul says, if God should take one lump of clay and make of that same lump one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor, who can be offended and cry against him? That he has the right to do this on the grounds of creation alone, we cannot deny. So now you can take that and run with it. And you can say God made whoever he wanted to this way, and he made them this way. But you have to also take what he said. He said that he was not willing that any should perish. It's out of all of God's word that comes life. It's when you take part and you run with it that comes death. We have to take it all. We can't put that together. God is the only one who can put that together. There's a whole bunch of the message that we can't put together. And even as simple as, bro, I was just reading this morning, you can't even call Jesus the Christ. You can't recognize Jesus as the anointed one unless the Holy Spirit in you recognizes it for you. Yet, he went even further. For according to Romans 14, 7-9, we have the irrefutable proof that Jesus paid the price of the whole world, and therefore he can do as he wills with his own. And Brother Branham goes on to say that his own does not mean a relationship, it means ownership. Because he has a relationship with some, but he owns all. Now, if we impute omniscience of God, we must also accept that he is perfect in wisdom and righteousness. And that's why I was saying earlier, his wisdom, his yeses and his noes, that's his wisdom. And we don't understand the depths of the yeses and the noes. We understand it on this side because we're disappointed in human when we get a no or something like that. But his wisdom, that's where life comes from, brother and sister. When this thing, it ain't going to understand it. It's not going to do it. I don't care who tells you it is. There's only one kind of understanding, and that's faith. And that comes by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you can get all the words you want, but if God hadn't showed you what it means, it's not going to mean a bit of good. I'm going to read you something about that here in just a minute. So we want his wisdom. We want his righteousness, because he could look into each one and know. And by knowing that, that's the way he laid things out. The plan of election and reprobation is the wisdom of God. Do you see that? The plan of election and reprobation is the wisdom of God. He created vessels to honor and to some to dishonor. Is the wisdom of God revealed in all ages? In every age, he's been showing the election, the elected, and the reprobate. All ages, even as it says in Ephesians 1, 3-11, and I took that out. You see those dots? You can go read that. Thus, if God has so designed that those names are placed in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased, for they are the names of his bride, then we must accept that if it also states that there are those whose names are placed in the record of the book of life, but in the foreknowledge of God, they were to fall and have their names removed. We must accept that. See, it was his wisdom over the election and reprobation. He knew. And if there are those whose names were never placed upon a record of life, we must accept that. See, God had done it. God placed it everywhere he wanted to place it. And if there are those who will enter into life eternally after the white throne judgment, solely on the grounds of being good and kind and just to the elect of God, who are brethren, we cannot but accept that. That's part of his predestination. All of that. Oh, who knoweth? For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? We can't inject our idea. Rather let us be subject in faith to him who is our Father and live. To understand this subject even more clearly, it will be wise to approach it from a standpoint of the church through the ages. Now watch this. He's going to take what he just talked about, the election through wisdom of God through the election and reprobation in every age. Now he's going to take it to the church and show you further what he's talking about. Up until now, we have been thinking in terms of the removal of the names of individuals. Now we want to consider not the individuals, but the groups represented in the church. To do so, we will liken the church through the ages to the wheat plant. The churches to the wheat plant, the elected and the reprobate. A grain of wheat is planted to the end that a single grain of wheat will reproduce and multiply itself. A single grain of wheat. Remember we talked about that royal seed. Will reproduce and multiply itself through a certain process during a certain period of time. That, see, how it's going to, that one seed is going to reproduce itself. It's going to be through a process in a certain period of time. He's talking about the church now. That single seed will die, but in dying, the life that was in it will come up into a plant, which in turn will be the bearer or carrier of that life, which is to come back to the originality in a multiplied form. Jesus, the great royal seed, died. See, what's going to be multiplied? The royal seed, singular, is going to be multiplied. Jesus, the great royal seed, died. Now, there was no other way that he was going to multiply this great royal seed but the one way. That matchless one, who is the life of the church, stands in the midst of the church for all seven church ages, giving his life to the church. All seven church ages, he's giving his life to the church. The carrier or bearer. He's given his life to this carrier, the church, the carrier. To the end, he's doing it for this reason, to the end that his very life will be reproduced in bodies like unto his in the resurrection. That's why he's doing it, so that his life can be reproduced. It is at the resurrection that the royal seed will see many royal seeds like unto himself. Now think about those oneness messages. Think about what he said in harvest. Because Brother Branham said that happens when Christ gathers him into the garner. This is when this happens, which is the harvest, right? Watch what he says. Reproducing bodies like unto his in the resurrection. It is at the resurrection that the royal seed will see many royal seeds like unto himself. And they will be even as he is. For, says John, we shall be like him. John We shall be like him. This is what John the Baptist was referring to when he said that Jesus would gather the wheat into the garner. Gathering them into the garner, he's associating that with when we shall be like him. He can't gather it until it's done. It's ready to gather. You see, it's ripe. It's ready to pick. We don't go get the watermelons off the vine till we got there and we thump them a little bit and we see if we, I don't know. Everybody thinks he's an expert on telling when it's ripe. But you, like a tomato, you know when a tomato is ripe. You go get the tomato and you pick it off. You don't pick it while it's still green. Unless you're going to set it in the sun and let it ripen. But you know what I'm saying. You don't gather it until it's ready.
Yes, sir.
Until it's like him. Until it's like what he saw in his mind. He's not going to gather it. You remember what he said about the masterpiece when he struck Christ? It was like he wanted. It was like he saw it. This is what John the Baptist was referring to when he said that Jesus would gather the wheat into the garner. That was the resurrection, where the redeemed who have been elected unto eternal life come in. They've been elected to it, and that's when the birth comes. Remember what he said in harvest time when we started those messages on oneness? What did he say in that message? That's where I took that quote, where Brother Branham said that Jesus asked that they would be one as you and I are one. Now look, I'm going to read you something else in a minute, what he said about that. That is so good, brother and sister. It's just life. I mean, you can read any book you want to. And for a minute, you might get one that's wrote really good and it'll make you feel an emotion of some sort. But this goes on and on and on. And no matter how many times you read it, there's more there. There ain't a book been written other than this message in the Bible that's like that. It's just not. And you and I, as manifestations of that, are the same thing. It will unfold throughout eternity. God's people will unfold. He will unfold through his people throughout eternity. That was the resurrection where the redeemed who had been elected unto eternal life come in. Now, then the record of this wheat plant, whose end is to reproduce the original seed, multiplied form, is the book of life. The record of that seed, multiplied form is the book of life. I repeat, the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life, of which a part of the book of life is the record of eternal life. A section of the book of life. This is convincing because this goes right with what we read. This is in the Church Age book that goes right with what we read in the other part of the message the other day. And there's more for Wednesday and probably next Sunday. This convincingly seen by examining the wheat plant. A bare seed is sown. Soon a blade is seen. But this is not the wheat yet. Then it grows into a stalk. And this is not the wheat. Life is there, but not the wheat. Then at the end of the stalk is a little spike that seeds out to a tassel. To a wheat plant, still a wheat plant, but no wheat yet. Then the plant is pollinized. Has to be pollinized. Has to be quickened. There won't be no fruit on that plant if it ain't pollinized. That's why everybody's so worried about the bees. Now, the bees are like the main pollinator. They go from plant to plant and they pollinate the plants. And if they don't have that, unless it's some kind of hybrid they got now that's self-pollinating, then there's nothing. There has to be that quickening. The plant is pollinized, and we see the chaff grow. This looks mighty like the wheat, but it is not yet seed. Then forms the wheat in the husk. It is now back to what it was originally. Now the ripened wheat is harvest. Ripened wheat is harvest. What did he say? He said, when we're born again, what are we? Spiritual babes in Jesus Christ. And then he adds word upon word upon word. But Jesus Christ died. He gave his life. That life was to come back upon the church and bring many sons like unto himself, unto glory in the resurrection. That's the way it was always going to be, that we would get life. But as the wheat seed had to have a carrier to bring forth multiplied wheat seed. So here we're going to find the other part of that book that gets took off the book. I'll let him say it. But as the wheat seed had to have a carrier to bring forth multiplied wheat seed, even so, there has to be a church which will be the carrier of the life of Christ. And as the blade, stalk, tassel, husk were the carriers for the seed, but not the seed itself, so the church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, though not the seed itself. That is why they say, we can say, that the book of life is the whole wheat plant. Let's go over that again. Here is that original seed that was planted. It produced a blade. That isn't it. It produced a stalk. Not it either. Here comes husk in which the wheat is to form. That isn't it. The tassel appears. Then pollen falls on those pistils. That's where we are, brother and sister. Where the pollen fell by the power of Jesus Christ, grace, pollen fell. Then pollen falls on those pistils. Part of that plant is quickened. Something of the original seed that came up through the rest of the plant turns into seed. The life becomes seed because the pollen fell on it. Why didn't the whole plant go into seed? Because it was created to that end. It wasn't created to go into seed. It was created to be the husk or the whatever. Just part of that plant will go back to being seed because just part of that wheat plant is eternal life wheat. You have a perfect type of that in Israel leaving Egypt. They came out about 2 million strong. Now he's going to give you a perfect type of this wheat plant that he just talked about, that he just compared the church to, and that previously he talked about individuals. All escaped through the sacrificial blood. All were baptized in the Red Sea. All came out of the water enjoying Holy Spirit manifestations and blessings. All ate angel food. All drank of the rock that followed them. Yet, except for a few, they were not but carriers for the children who should follow them and go into Canaan land. All Israel is not Israel, and all that a tiny minority had their names blotted out of the book of life. But they were necessary. They were part of the wheat plant. They were put there by God. We have the same right. We have the same right today in the church. Names are going to be blotted out of the book of life. No names will be blotted out of the book of eternal life. For that is another record though contained in the book of life. And we've read like three different places in the message in different. So he's saying the same thing everywhere. This is the record. This record of one inside of the other here. And if I tell you, brother and sister, what did Brother Branham say? When he was born into this world, he was a rotten scoundrel. That's what he said. Right? And he said, down in there was another William Branham. If that ain't what this is, I don't know what anything about the message whatsoever. There was a book of life, and down in there was an eternal part of that book of life. Eternal life, for that is another record, though contained in the book of life. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And if you look at those messages that he hammered the last year or two, over and over and over and over, there is one place of worship. He said he put his name in one place. Amen. Everything comes from that one place. We have one relationship to God. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Eternal. Now you see when he's saying about Adam back there. When he says that about Adam, when he says that Adam couldn't come and take of the tree until it become flesh. That's what this is. The royal seed. That's the way it was going to be all the time. Adam couldn't come take of that tree until it become flesh. And it couldn't come flesh until they fell. God bringing it to pass the whole time. Him bringing it out. And he that hath not the Son hath not eternal life. And those who have that life were in him before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That great royal seed, Jesus Christ. That's where we were chosen. Yeah, we had to be taken out of him. We had to be given life through him. Because that was God manifesting himself. Jesus Christ has planted that great royal seed. Jesus Christ was planted. He died. And that life that was in him come up through the wheat plant and is reproducing itself in multitudes of wheat seeds having the same life in them. And what did he say in harvest time? Which is when they're gathered into the garner. He asked that we would be one with God as he and God were one. Remember why I read a couple services back. Brother Ram said God that Jesus didn't give you your predestination. God had already given you your predestination. He made it possible for you to have it. And is reducing through the wheat plant. And is reproducing itself in multitudes of wheat seeds, having the same life in them, and being like the original because, and what was the original? It was Jesus Christ. We just read it. He was the royal seed. Like the original because by spirit they are original. All right, so let's kind of, as Brother Branham called it, let's kind of coast here just a little bit. And let's look at something we mentioned a while ago about self. Because that's where all the other doctrines come from. There's God, and then there's everybody else's opinions. This is from a message in his presence. A very good message. Paul, a self-styled Pharisee. This is what Paul was accomplishing. Paul, a self-styled Pharisee, educated and trained in all the religion of that there was in the world in that day. One of the highest known scholars in the land. But when he come before the pillar of fire one day, the God that he had persecuted ignorantly, he was a Pharisee. He didn't believe that God was a man. He knowed God was the pillar of fire. See, they didn't understand nothing yet up until that point. Christ was so foreign to them. They had no idea. And he was showing them that God was showing us that he was a man. And then they carried that for 2,000 years, not knowing what all that meant. He knowed God was the pillar of fire. It led his people out of Egypt. He had been with them all along. But when he saw this pillar of fire, he fell down on his face and he heard a voice say, "Paul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." He was the man. He was a man that said, "How have you been baptized?" He had been in the presence of God. He was a changed man from then on. That seed was down in that, Brother Paul, there. But until he come into the presence, what had happened? He was going on his self, going on his way. He was a changed man from then on. He'd been in the presence of God. It changes a man. This is really good right here. Charles Finney, a lawyer, a great Philadelphian lawyer. But when he come into the presence of God, he dropped his law study and become a mightiest preacher of this nation's ever had yet. And then there's a little blank spot there. Was a preacher because one day he come into the presence of God. He thought once he'd studied the ministry. Now he's going to tell you how he come into the presence of God. He thought once he'd studied the ministry. We know his book. You know his book. I got his autobiography. He went to pray. He thought he was a preacher. He had a desire that he wanted to preach. And he had him a few sermons he'd tried to preach. Remember Moses trying to do what Moses was trying to do before he met the pillar of fire in the tree? He had a desire. He wanted to preach. And he had a few sermons he tried to preach. And he went out one day and out of his office to pray, went in the woods. He got down behind an old blown down tree where he'd go every afternoon. Very religious, but he didn't believe in that. See, he was very religious, but he didn't believe yet. There was two women in the church kept saying, "Mr. Finney, we're praying that you'll receive the Holy Ghost." He said, "I got the Holy Ghost." Said, "I'm a preacher." Said, "Mr. Finney, you're a great man and you got a great hold of the word, but you need the Holy Ghost." Could you imagine that? And they weren't wrong. "We're praying for you, sweet little women." So he went on. So every day he got out behind his office, his boss and all of them there. He worked and he'd got out of his law office and go out there to pray. Something was pushing him down there to pray. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Something was bringing it to pass, though. Something was pushing him out there to pray. And one day he was out there praying and he heard a brush break. He thought his boss was coming up hunting him. He jumped up real quick. He was saying, "Lord God, I believe you." Stopped. Brushed before it got raised up and said, looked around, see what it was that broke the brush. He didn't want anybody to see him praying. You see that? Nothing happens that God is not in control of. Right down to a brush breaking, because he was going to show this man something. Raised up and said, "Look around, see what it was broke the brush." And it was then he come into the presence of God. When he realized what broke the brush and why it broke, he realized that brush had broke for a purpose. He stood there and his tears running down his cheeks. He said, "Maybe them women's right. I'm ashamed for somebody to see me talking to my God. But I think it was an honor for me for somebody to see me talking to my boss. How much greater is my Lord than my boss? See, he was going through the routines all the time. And one day, going through the routine, a brush broke and God revealed something to him. And brother, if you'll stay in this message and stay by it, God will show you and break the brushes and keep you right where you need to be and bring you right where you need to be. Just don't doubt him. Keep his wisdom, his righteousness is everything. And just hold on to that. Lord, forgive me and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Started screaming and shouting. He was in the presence of God. He run downtown. See, he was in the presence before he wasn't. He run downtown real quick to his office. He got to screaming so hard he had to go behind the door and said, Lord, I'm bringing disgrace upon you. Hide me back here till I get over this spell. Why? He had come into the presence of God. He was a changed man. The sermons that he used to preach, he preached the same sermons. And souls came to the altar. See, he had been in the presence of God. You think about them little sisters. They knew that was the truth, but they knew something was missing. And they weren't trying to correct him. They just said, we're praying you'll get the Holy Ghost. You know, that was part of that. Because he realized maybe them sisters right. And because they had been there praying for him, that was on his mind. He was out there. A brush broke. You see how God can orchestrate whatever he wants to orchestrate. Do whatever he wants to do. That's why we, brother and sister, if we start living there where those yeses and there's no's mean just as much. Because we're concerned not about what we want, but we want to see him glorified. Whatever it costs for him to be glorified, that's what we want to see. That can only come from God in you. Because only God can call God Jesus the Christ. Only God could do these things. All right. Things that are to be. A certain denominational minister the other night said to me, Brother Branham, look here. He said, whosoever believeth, the Bible said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is born of the Spirit of God. You see how many places they can interpret that. They say they believe, and they don't know what it is. There's no sense arguing with somebody if you think they don't believe, because if they say they do, and their life don't match the Word, then the only thing you can do is give them the word. I said, don't. The Bible also say that no man can call Jesus the Christ, only by the Holy Ghost. See, you can't make the Bible lie. See, that's what the man was doing. He was making the Bible lie. He was taking over here, and everybody wants to verbally make a confession that Jesus is the Christ. He was putting them in. That's what that man was doing. And Brother Brown is coming back over here and saying, they can't do that unless God shows them that. See, you can't make the Bible lie. It's got to hook right in. So you have to become absolutely born again of the Holy Spirit in you, that witness out yourself. You know that he is the Son of God. And then if you are, and a part, if you are a child of God and the Word of God, how can you deny the Word? If that seed's been quickened and brought to life in this hour, and you got the same life as he's got, how can you deny the Word? You can't do it. Nobody who has that life can deny it. You can't do it. It's his life in you that's testifying to it. How can the Holy Spirit make you believe a creed that you have to do something like this when the Bible said something else? we have to join a church and do this or do that. When the Bible plainly tells you what to do, see? And then when you see that and you jump right into it, you're right with it then. Just keep moving on up and just grows. Like a germ coming into the womb of a woman with the egg. And when that little egg begins to develop and begin to bring forth germs, it don't put one human germ and then a dog germ and a cow germ. It puts all human germs. And when a child of God, when that predestinated, that's a bad word to use, but it's God. It's God. Here's God's Bible. The foreknowledge of God can predestinate. We went through that there at the beginning. Making everything work to his honor. Even the ones that ain't going to listen to him, he can still make them work to his honor. Make everything work to his honor. When that predestinated seed that you was to be and God called you. Now you look what Brother Branham said about that little woman. When the Word, she came into the presence of the Word. There wasn't a new birth yet, but it still struck that predestination. And that predestination overrode every bit of this carnal human that had been there all the time. And it spoke those words. And it pulled her to that life that you was to be. And God called you. And that little eagle of a seed in there heard the word of God. It will build on top. One word on top of another one. One on top of the other one. One top of the other one. It'll not mix with any creed. Now there's a building word on word that came through the church ages. And there's a building word on word in this hour too. I'll read it to you in a minute. Notice, in these gates every day they would eat new kosher. And there would be no leaven. See, those were the gates that God had for them to meet him in every age. And they couldn't eat anything else. They had to meet him in that gate. All these were types and shadows. And there would be no leaven among them through them 7 days. Is that right? The seven church ages then, no unleavened, no creed, no nothing added. It has to be an absolutely unleavened bread. No leaven shall be found among you at all. Just a leaven, the Word. That's the only. And the Word is God. And God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, which that is the gate. And if you look at those messages, Brother Ram said, he put his name in one gate. He's not going to meet us in any of these other gates. There's one gate, one word. That is the gate. There is the gate I'll meet you in to worship. When you follow the commandments of God. Therefore, if you tonight just say, I offer Jesus Christ my life. I offer it. And you've never received the Holy Ghost, come into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. You must grow into this. Ask God. That's what we just read you a while ago. Paul, he got a jolt when Stephen, but he kept on his way. Brother Bram said he never could forget that, but he kept on his way. He doubled down after that. And then when that happened on there, he had to go get the other man to pray for him. He was coming into it. God was bringing him into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. Ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of the Son of God or the daughter of God. He went and showed the opposite, so I took that part out. You can go read it. Not just say, well, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. That's all right. Then add the rest of it to it. You say, I've been justified. I give my hand to the minister. I believe in Jesus Christ. Then you've got to be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, just keep adding on. As you keep going, you're growing into the stature of the Son and daughter of God. Now, Brother Branham is preaching this message. It's things that are to be in December of 65. God able to prepare us and to give us that crave in our life. That predestination down there craving something. That little sister at the well, it was craving something and she didn't know it until it came into her presence and then she recognized it. Able to prepare us and give to us the crave in our life that we want to see something. How many in here wants more of God? And that reminds me of Daniel. I was just reading that the other day. How that Daniel was down there. Brother Bram said he come down there when he was 12. And 68 years had been passed. And he said it was 2 years till they were supposed to be out. Brought out. And Daniel recognized that the time was drawing nigh. And he didn't know what he was supposed to do when that happened. If he was supposed to do. And he started to pray. He was looking for it. And searching for it. Craving for it. Looking. He didn't know what he was craving for. He was craving for something. So he was praying and asking God. And what happened? An angel come. And he come into his presence. And you think about this, Brother Bram said, hey, here Daniel was down there 68 years all by himself. Nobody to sing the songs with. Nobody to hear a sermon with. Nothing, he said. He was just down there with the books, whatever part of the scripture he had, and himself standing there with God all this time. And here he starts, he sees this, and he begins to pray. He don't pray for a little while and quit. He keeps praying and he keeps expecting from God and an angel comes and you know the story. You know what happened after that. But he told him when he come, he said, Daniel, your prayer has been heard in heaven and you're greatly loved. Could you imagine what that had to feel like after 68 years of being down there by yourself? And an angel appear to you like that and say, hey, Daniel, you've been heard in heaven and you're greatly loved. Mm-hmm. And every one of us in this day has that. If you've come face to face with him, he's told you you're greatly loved. And when we read the scripture, we see the demonstration of his love. You know, I know girls out here, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she was talking about trying to find somebody to date. And she was talking about how she had her criteria and stuff, and I didn't ask her what it was. But I just started thinking about that, you know, and they'll come and very shortly they'll start declaring this and you're that, you're the most beautiful. And that you make me feel this way. And I you know, all these things are telling this girl. And he hadn't been around long enough to she even know who he is. Or know how he acts. Or nothing about him, hardly. Yet he's making these declarations. We've had 6,000 years of recorded history of Jesus Christ. And his work to bring us to where he's brought his bride to this day. And when he declares himself to us, it should be more than proven to us what he's done. Because that's what he's done. He done it, Brother Bram said. And then he took the seals off of it and showed us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Why? It goes to show you there's more for you because you got this craving. See? It was more for Daniel. He come and Brother Bram, he told him all. Angel come to Daniel and told him all these things to the consummation. Why? It goes to show there is more for you. See, you're craving it. Your little birth pains are coming on. See, you need more so that we can be happy and free and perfect. This word of God in you coming to life is bringing these birth pains on. We got to be. Like the little germ of life being in the bosom of God, just like. And the germ of life is in the bosom of the mother. God is growing, going, gone to prepare the place for us
the eternal place with himself. And I believe we can see that now, what that eternal place was. It's the coming of Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's bringing that oneness that he always was going to bring us to. The eternal place with himself. Not a place where there's a pest house, a dying, sin, adultery, filth in the world here. And what are those brought on by? Unbelief. So not a place where there's any unbelief. If your mind is on that, it shows it never was, never has come in contact with God. See, you worked up. You got a mental illusion. If I got men come to our church that time, started handing all the stuff out to the kids, and I come and ask him why he was doing that. And he's like, well, I'm just this and that. The next service he comes in, and he stops me as I'm going out, and he said, did you know Billy Graham said that heaven's going to be one big sex thing? And I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, yeah. I said, I ain't never heard Billy Graham say anything like that. I said, but if he did, he don't know what he's talking about. Because the prophet said there won't be no such thing anymore in heaven. And I said, I think you need to reconsider. I didn't want to hear any more of that nonsense. Went long after that, he departed. He kept talking in church right before service, and I asked him not to, you know, to wait to afterwards. And he got angry with me. He didn't like it. Anyways, I'm not sure why I said all that, but I'm just saying all these ideas that people get and they run with and stuff, it'll just end up in a crash somewhere. You just join church and say, well, I belong to this. My mother belonged to that. That might have been all right in your mother's day, but we're living in another day. Wesley's message would have never. He just couldn't take Luther. Luther believed in justification, but Wesley had sanctification. The Pentecostals come along. They couldn't take just justification and sanctification. It was time for restoration of the gifts. Now, we're going from that. See, the three stages of the vine coming up. The first, it's a little blade. Luther come up from Reformation. That's right. And then that was the stalk, which, watch nature. God and nature works in continuity because God is in nature. See, the next come the tassel, the pollen, the Methodist age, and then come the Pentecostal. Oh, my. Just so perfect, see, just like a grain of wheat looks like it's perfect wheat. Grain of wheat, but it's not. It looks just like it, but it's not. Open it up. There's no wheat there at all. It's a shuck, a carrier of it. But that life is working on through, see. And he goes into that some more. And even if you say this, we're a Pentecostal. But look at Pentecost, how cold and formal it's getting. How everybody walking away. See, what is it? It was a carrier of the real seed, see? And these things, others are carriers, was carrier, just, but went the denomination. If you say I'm Pentecost, that's don't mean no more to God than if you said you was Roman Catholic or Jew or whatever you might be. You got to be born. That life come through that carrier there. Had to come through the carrier. Don't stay in the stalk. Remember Brother Branham said about you staggering out of the one church. You don't know what was going on. You staggered out of this church and into another church and done this and that. You don't know what you were doing, why you were doing it. Don't stay in the stalk. Don't stay in the seed. Go right on out to the perfect part. Now remember, every Reformation we've had on all those Lutherans and so forth, in 3 years they organize. That's right. Every revival brought an organization in 3 years. Think now how long this been going on. 20-something years and no organization. Why? It's the seed coming, forming under the husk, like this, laying out here, laying out now, what does it take to form this up? It takes the life of Jesus Christ to form it up. Forming under the husk like this. Laying out, now it's got to lay in the presence of the Son. It's got to lay there under the word that's for this hour. It's got to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen into the glorious grain like the one that went into the first, which we said a while ago, that was Christ, remember? The real church that went down first is coming right back up through the stalk to come out another church when the combine comes to pick it up. The life that went down in Luther, the life that went down in the Methodist, the life that went down in Pentecostal will come up into the grain. It'll go right out into the grain and go out forming the perfect body of Jesus Christ. Look at the leaves. Come on, and trees, on the trees. It comes up, a good fine leaf, brings out shade, puts out its fruit. Next, the first thing you know, autumn comes, strikes it, death, runs down into the root, into the ground again. And what, is that the end of it? Next spring, she comes right back again to testify. Oh, that's perpetual life. But brother and sister, we have eternal life. We've got eternal life through this great one who has came, has gone, is able to prepare us a body. That's how we have eternal life, through the great one. And these growing pains we feel, like you women feel condemned of what you do. What makes them feel condemned? Because the anointed word is there, and they're a seed. And it can't, they can't, the two can't be there at the same time. One's got to put one out. Woman, feel condemned of what you do. You men that hangs on to the seminary doctrines and so forth. You all want to say, I recite this creed. I do this. I. But there's something right down in you. When you see the eyes of the blind open, the deaf understand, blind, all these things that's promised, when you see all these things that's promised, amen. Because God give you eyes to see them. See a prostitute off the street made a lady. See a drunkard come out of there and be a real saint of God. My, see, there's something life in there. And you begin to feel, well, maybe I oughtn't to do that. What's producing that? The life on that seed is quickening it. And it's changing this mortal. And you begin to feel, well, maybe I oughtn't to do that. But see, what is it? It's something your body yonder is needing. Come on. God's got the vitamins right in here for every bit of that body. So we need vitamins for all of it. We need the word for all of it. Because it's the word, the royal seed, that's being quickened. Jesus has gone to prepare the place in the bosom of God. Yes, a little germ, son of God, little son or daughter of God, because he made it possible that we might be one with God like he and God was one. Jesus only asked for one thing. In his prayer to the Father, you know what that was? One thing. Now, remember he said in harvest time what the one thing was. Now he's going to say what the one thing here. Is he saying something different? Let's read it. One thing after all his sacrifice that he did here on earth, the life that he lived, the path that he walked, he asked for one thing. That where I am, they may be also. This oneness is a place, brother and sister. That where I am, they may be also. He asked for our fellowship. There's only one way that you can be one with one another here. And that is you're all one with Christ. That's what makes you one with one another. It's not this idea of, oh, we all get together and we get along and all. That's not it. It's when God is in every one of you, then you'll get along because you're God's people. And it won't be a fake thing. It won't be something that works sometimes and sometimes it don't. That's the only thing he asked the Father. in prayer your companionship forever. This is God, brother and sister, manifested as a man. And this is what he asked for. Our companionship. If you want to read it, this in St. John 17, the 24th verse, then how much should we desire him? He's the word. That's the word that we just read. You take that into your heart and see if that don't make you want him so bad. Now listen, if you are really born of the Spirit of God, that means everything to you. See, it ain't some book of rules. You don't live by any laws and so forth. You live by the grace of God, the Spirit of God. And that, brother, sister, is the eternal seed made manifest. That royal seed made manifest right there. And sorry if I was yelling. Thinking about where we are right now in this hour, brother and sister, and the things that God tells us, the things Brother Bram said, he pulls her up close to her and he whispers these things in her ears, these secrets. He whispers in her ears. You think about it. That's the secret. Only she can know those things because she has his Spirit in her. Brother Bram said the book of Revelations is sealed to the world. The world can't never see it. They could have seen where it says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could have seen that. They could have accepted that. But the Revelations, they can't see it. They can't see it at all. And I tell you, I feel like he's made love to us, to his bride. Personally, that's what I feel like. And I'm so grateful for it. I know I said that a million times already. You might hear it a bunch more, but I am so grateful for it. I mean it. And because, see, he created that gratefulness. Because if I didn't realize what he'd done, I couldn't be grateful. God was going to have a group of people that would worship him, and he saw to it that it would take place. I'm sorry. He saw to it. Amen. Every jot and every tittle. He didn't miss nothing. He said it right, and he brought it to pass. Nothing happened that he had to adjust to. And every single day of our lives is the same way. What a peace that should bring us to really accept that. You know, there's that. Brother Michael read that quote that time a long time ago about Satan giving you a box of snakes, hand them back. Brother Bram said, if he tries to give you a box of snakes, give them back. You don't have to take them. Mm-hmm. It's a box of snakes. Give it back to him. And we are living in an hour where we know exactly. Brother Bram said, the bride has thus saith the Lord, or she's quiet. And you know, that's not just a doctrine. We have thus saith the Lord, this is the doctrine. That's not what it is. We have thus saith the Lord and what he wants to do. Brother Bram said, she knows what he wants done with this word. How does she know that? Look at Brother Bram's life. Look at everybody's life in the Bible. Look how God showed them how he wanted something done with it. He revealed it to them and he brought it to pass every single time. There's no difference. So how is he going to do it in your life? Exactly the same way, if you expect it. I mean, let's be like Daniel, you know, let's be expected. I just realized now that we had a mic this morning, so my loudness was even louder, I guess. I'm sorry about that. But I kept wondering why this was further this way, and then I realized now. But it's fine. I'm not fussing. I'm fine with it because it was the bigger room made it harder to hear. So let's stand and let's remember Emily and them. It's
had the stomach bug, and Brother Gumbo that's having to work, and different ones that I pray that those that are listening in, that you'll realize that I read all this out of the message this morning. And if you heard Chris say one statement that wasn't in the message this morning, please come to me and tell me. I'll find it where it's at in the message, or I'll tell you I'm sorry. I'll tell all of you I'm sorry. I don't want anything but his word. And I know y'all are the same way. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that in this hour you've given us life, Lord. Life greater than in any age. We're going out into that perfected, you said. We are becoming and are that perfected bride. Lord, the one that knows what you want done with your word. The one that knows, thus saith the Lord. Lord, they don't just know that the word says you're a healer, but they know when you want to heal. Each one knows each part of the word and knows when you want to exercise it in their life, Lord. Let us have that. Let us realize that, Lord, the revelation of that. Make it plain to us, Lord, each one. And we ask it now that you'll go with us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that Jehovah Jireh.